my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, it is episode 115, my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast, and the title says it all. WTF WWE. We are, of course, talking about the 2017 Royal Rumble, and Chad, who is the host now of the new show here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, Cynical Positive Cynicism, is joining me now. And Chad, we're going to try to be positive, but I know with the title of this particular episode, it's going to be a little hard here as we talk about the 2017 Royal Rumble.
Yeah, you kind of took away my introduction. I was going to say that hosting the new show, Positive Cynicism, on Jittery Monkey, which this week will feature a recap of the NHL All-Star Weekend. But for the Rumble portion of this discussion, I am positively going to be cynical because, I guess as your title says, WTF, RKO, WWE. Like, there are so many three-letter acronyms that you could throw into this that just question why I sat here and watched 3.5 hours of wrestling.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the main Royal Rumble matchup because I think that's where the bulk of the criticism is going to come from, at least from our end. A couple of days ago, I guess it came out that Randy Orton was now the new favorite to win the Royal Rumble. I didn't understand why. Now, as you kind of let things fall into place, I can see possible scenarios. I don't know that that's going to happen. I think part of the reason I'm a little disappointed is I really don't want Randy Orton, John Cena at WrestleMania, and I don't necessarily think we're going to get that. But also, in 2017, I would rather see someone who has never won the Rumble before or someone who hasn't been around for 15 years to have had a chance to maybe shine. Randy Orton has won the Royal Rumble before. He's been a multiple-time champion, so I'll leave my thoughts at that for now. And Chad, you kind of talk about a little bit about what you're thinking.
I'm thinking, well, let's save it for when we get to the Rumble, because as you said, I see two scenarios coming from this. Neither one interests me. One interests me more only because it's fresher, but to get there doesn't make sense with what else happened on the pay-per-view or network special tonight.
Okay, well, let's talk quickly then about the other matches that did happen. Of course, the SmackDown women's match happened. It was a 6-woman match. Naomi, Becky Lynch, and Nikki Bella beating Alexa Bliss, Mickey James, and Natalya. Naomi gets the win over Alexa Bliss, which I would imagine is going to set up for some sort of feud between these two.
Okay. I didn't watch the pre-show, and I haven't checked results, so I...
Okay. Okay, well, we also have new tag team champions in the club. They beat Cesaro and Sheamus.
Yes, and as you told me when you texted me that, I guess the 502nd time was a charm. The club finally wins the titles. Now, can we at least get some new tag teams in here so that the tag team division can be fresh?
Okay. Nia Jax beat Sasha Banks, which was the right call. Charlotte defends the women's championship against Bayley. Did you watch? You started watching with this, right?
Yes, I did.
I thought it was a very good match. They went back and forth. I loved some of the new innovative things that they did in there. I still think Charlotte's number will come up at WrestleMania, but it was kind of this was number 16 for her, I guess. So it's kind of ironic that she has the same number of pay-per-view title defense wins as her dad has championship wins, and we'll get to that in just a minute as well. Kevin Owens beats Roman Reigns with the help of Braun Strowman. I think this was probably, besides the actual Rumble match itself, this was the biggest surprise for me.
Yeah, I did not expect Braun to come out. I'm glad he did, and he gets my vote for Wrestler of the Year after this performance, just because it kept Roman Reigns from winning, you know, the title. I'm curious now, going into WrestleMania, are we going to get Reigns versus Strowman, or based on what happened later in the Rumble, will that play a factor as well? Either way, I'm just glad Roman's not champion, and I'm curious to see. I still think, you know, Kevin Owens versus Jericho is your money match for the title for Mania, but we'll see if WWE thinks the same and see what happens on the road.
So we're still about 9 weeks out from WrestleMania. We know that in 2 weeks it's Elimination Chamber, a SmackDown-only pay-per-view. So does Raw have any kind of pay-per-view or network special between now and WrestleMania? Do you know?
I believe they have Fastlane.
Okay. So they are going to do Fastlane again.
Yeah. Because I believe either Goldberg or Lesnar is scheduled to be there.
Okay. All right. And we'll get more to those guys in a few minutes as we talk about the actual Rumble match itself. Neville, not a big surprise here, beat Rich Swann for the Cruiserweight Championship. I do have my Neville pants on still, so I'm a happy camper.
Yeah, the match was good. There's just something about Rich Swann that I haven't bought into yet, from him being in WWE and being the Cruiserweight Champion. We predicted last week, I said I didn't expect Neville to win the title here because I just couldn't see the title changing that quickly. Though, as another podcast I listened to last week pointed out, it kind of made sense for Neville to win. Otherwise, he couldn't lose and then continue to call himself King of the Cruiserweights. So this makes sense, and I'm expecting a multi-man Cruiserweight title match to happen at Mania.
Yeah, I could see that makes sense instead of the Intercontinental title match as we've seen for the last few years. The other kind of surprise of the night, well, I wasn't totally surprised, but a little surprised, John Cena beating AJ Styles. This was a great match. I would say this was probably match of the night for me. It was a great match in terms of the storytelling and the execution of it. I read online right before we started recording this that they cut out a Ric Flair segment. I don't know if it was supposed to be a part of this match. It would have made sense if it was. I just saw the headline. I'm not going to lie. I do like John Cena, but I am kind of disappointed with, I guess, the follow-up to him tying this. I would have liked to have seen some Flair involvement because, you know, obviously Flair was there tonight. We saw pictures of Cena and Flair together backstage after it was all said and done. And Flair has said before that he is fine with this happening. So as a diehard, lifelong Ric Flair fan, though, that doesn't make it any more easy for me to accept the fact that Cena is now tied and will probably eventually go on to beat Flair's 16 title reigns.
Well, as I said to you during our texting during the show portion, I don't buy this. I don't agree with it. And so, therefore, I'm going to... John Cena is not a legitimate champion. Ric Flair is the only real 16-time champion. this is one of those things where, especially given the rumors of what AJ is going to... what his match will feature at WrestleMania, I really don't like this decision. And I just think Cena is in that place where he doesn't need the title. I think AJ having a phenomenal year, no pun intended. I just think he should have held on to the title going into WrestleMania and built somebody up other than John Cena, other than the Rumble winner, Randy Orton. I wanted something fresh, and I just feel like we're in that phase of... I mean, WWE says, you know, Vince McMahon says they're not a wrestling company. They make movies, they make TV shows, and he's just stealing ideas from Hollywood and just recycling the same thing we've seen over and over.
That's a good point. I do agree with you about it would have been nice to see AJ retain. perhaps go on and face someone like a Samoa Joe or somebody else fresh at WrestleMania. But, you know, we're looking at this as fans, I think, and they're obviously looking at this from the business end of it. And, you know, they think things are better for business than what a lot of the fans think.
But, I mean, at the same time, and granted, it's WrestleMania. You know, tickets went on sale 3 months ago. So they could have had Mojo Rawley win the Rumble and Zack Ryder come back and win the title and have those two fight for the main title, and they're still going to make as much money anyway.
Right.
So, and I think that, on one hand, I think that hurts the fans because then WWE really doesn't have to, especially now that they're not selling pay-per-view. You know, they're selling network subscriptions, which people buy the network for more than just the monthly pay-per-view. So I think this philosophy of WWE's kind of maybe hurts the fans more than it hurts their business.
That's a good point. And let's talk about the Rumble match itself. And as you were kind of talking there, I was thinking of a few other things. But something to note, Chris Jericho now holds the record for the longest time in the Royal Rumble, the history of all the Rumble matches. I don't have the official time yet, but I know that he only had to be in there 4 minutes of the Rumble for 2017 to beat Triple H's record. So congrats to Jericho on that. Also, something I noted during the segment, there was a segment with Stephanie that you may not have watched. Okay. She said, they asked her who she thought was going to win. This was after she banned Seth Rollins from the Rumble and from the building. She said she wasn't sure who would win the Royal Rumble, but she was sure it would be somebody from Raw, which obviously it was not. It was SmackDown. And the last, I don't know, eight guys or so, other than the part-timers like Lesnar, which I guess Lesnar's technically on Raw, but Goldberg, who shows up on Raw. What's that?
I would say he's a Raw superstar because he's only been on Raw.
Has he?
I don't think he's been on SmackDown, has he?
I don't know. But then you've got The Undertaker, too, but who has been on both shows. But anyway, obviously, you know, to me it seemed like if there was a vendetta and Stephanie wanted somebody to win from Raw, part of it is why would you take out one of the top guys on your roster in Seth Rollins? But that's an argument for another day, I guess. Obviously, they're building up to a Triple H-Seth Rollins match. We know that'll happen at Mania, most likely. Shaq versus The Big Show has been talked about. So as we get into the Royal Rumble match itself, we saw some seeds being planted. But with Randy Orton winning, what do you see happening next? You said you saw two possible scenarios.
I see, yeah. One, either John Cena retains the title at Elimination Chamber and we get Orton versus Cena for the 1,000th time. Or, I've seen speculation that Bray Wyatt will win the title at Elimination Chamber and then we get Orton, Bray, at WrestleMania, which, if that's the case, why have John Cena win the title tonight? Why not just have him be, you know, have AJ lose the title in the Elimination Chamber and then have, you know, if you want to give Cena that 16th title, like, I would have done it then at SummerSlam. Build up to it. I don't know. I think having Cena win the title tonight, if he's going to drop it in 2 weeks, is very short-sighted.
It's very short-sighted, and like we said earlier, there was a mention, but there was no celebration. There was no, you know, it would have been nice to see Flair come out, raise his hand. And I know John went out and did the thing with the Make-A-Wish kid, which was great. I just think that, yeah, I don't like the idea of him losing it in 2 weeks, even if it is to Bray. I don't see it, that just seems too fast and too much of a hot shot to go from AJ to Cena to Bray Wyatt to possibly then Randy Orton at WrestleMania. So, and then, will Randy Orton be included in the Elimination Chamber match too? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. I would think not, because he's already got the title shot at Mania. So, I don't know. But and I also would say, you know, with the Wyatt family imploding, I would have done Luke Harper, and I guess they could still, I guess, maybe not, but I would have done, you know, Luke Harper versus Randy Orton at the next pay-per-view, which they've already fought on SmackDown, so you put him on the, you know, on a B-level pay-per-view, and then build up to Luke Harper versus Bray Wyatt at Mania. To give some semblance of an actual storyline with this, with their implosion.
Yeah. So do you think that's kind of the SmackDown side of things? There's, you know, the speculation of Orton going in there either against Bray Wyatt or John Cena. I think we've both kind of dismissed both of those ideas as not being things that we're overly crazy about. What about on the Raw side of things? Do you think Owens holds on to the Universal title until WrestleMania?
I would like him to, but I don't know. Again, the only logical storyline that I can see is him versus Jericho. And I think Jericho even said, I saw a headline on a news site saying Jericho looks to be taking off after April or May to go back to his band. So you want to get Orton, you want to get that feud out of the way before he leaves. So Mania makes sense, but then do you do it for the title, or is there someone else? You know, who, if you take the title off Owens, logically, who would make a good champion to dethrone him?
Anybody but Roman Reigns, I think. Let's talk about Roman Reigns, because obviously when he came out to face KO, he was booed, which we expected. And then I don't think he was announced. I guess he really is the only surprise announcement or surprise entrant in the Rumble, I think.
Yeah, there were no like legends or anybody else that came in. So
I guess Gallagher from
And Ty Dillinger made his debut, but everybody wanted him to come in at number 10.
Yeah.
Which was so convenient that he drew that number.
It's ironic, isn't it?
I know.
So Roman coming out at number 30, I think, you know, because you and I were going back and forth and speculated that it would be Seth Rollins somehow by hook or by crook. And I'm not mad that it wasn't Seth, but I think I'm probably more disappointed that it was Roman Reigns.
Yeah, because why is Roman, how did Roman get in the Rumble? You know, he could have been champion, which wouldn't have made sense for him to be in the Rumble. So how did he get number 30? Why wasn't AJ in the Rumble as well? Or is it because AJ automatically, because he lost the title, he'll get a title shot rematch guaranteed?
Right.
And I think this is a bigger issue is Roman Reigns has been, you know, he won it 2 years ago. He was in the final three last year and entered as champion. Fans do not want to see him anywhere near winning a Royal Rumble. And so to have him come out at number 30 and go down to the final two, it seems like the WWE just wants their fans to be pissed off.
Right.
And given how the Rumble played out after numbers, I think 25 through 30, the whole layout of the Rumble kind of killed it for me.
Yeah, but what would you knew that they were all going to show up at the end. There was no way you were going to get Goldberg in there in the top, you know, 10 or 15, or Lesnar for that matter. I was surprised how quickly, I mean, Goldberg really has Lesnar's number, or so it seems. So I guess
it builds up to the next match, so it makes sense.
Well, yeah, it does, but I mean, typically, you give one of the guys, you know, WWE is so notorious for their 50-50 booking, but this has all been Goldberg. I mean, yeah, even from back in 2004.
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know. But I was thinking about it during the last portions of the Rumble match, and I was trying to think if you could have done basically the same thing that you did that they did with Lesnar, Goldberg, Taker, only move it up into like the 10 to 15 spot so that you get them in there, you get the fans excited for them, and then you get that portion out because their portion was so small that to me it felt a lot like the 1999 Royal Rumble where you had Austin and McMahon enter first and then they brawl throughout the arena for the rest of the match, and then the match just fills up with all these mid-card jobbers that everybody knew had no chance of winning, and then you were just waiting for that last, you know, for McMahon and Austin to come back. And that's what this felt like. It was like we knew Goldberg, Lesnar, and Taker were all in the match because they're the only ones that have really been promoted, and the promotion has been built around them being in the match. And so when you're just waiting for them to come out, you just get this long stretch where you have guys that you're just waiting. And then you have Mark Henry and Big Show and who else? Like, I can understand having, like, because you wanted Braun Strowman to look dominant, and so you put him against Big Show and Henry, but it just seemed very lackluster to me. And I was also disappointed that Kane wasn't in the Rumble.
Yeah, that was kind of a surprise because they had talked about him so much in some of those packages leading up to the Rumble and how many eliminations he's had and whatnot. So, but it looks like Roman Reigns' record still stands at 12 for the most eliminations. And I should also mention here, Chad will probably, not me, but Chad will tabulate and figure out the Rumble prize winner and post that on our Facebook page as well. So be sure to check back for that this week, because obviously we are recording this literally moments after the Royal Rumble ended. So it'll take a little bit of time. I think your boy Enzo, though, gets the quickest exit. Or maybe James Ellsworth. It'd be close.
Yeah, I don't know. Excuse me. Yeah, I was kind of surprised to see Enzo actually in the Rumble. I thought, you know, I couldn't remember if he was still out with an injury or if he'd been wrestling lately. And getting the big pre-match spiel to get all his catchphrases and stuff out of the way. I really wasn't looking forward to see. I wasn't expecting Enzo to be in the match. And Ellsworth, you know, it was what it was. So, and so I think my biggest issue with this Rumble as well is the amount of time everybody just spent lying on the ground. I think mm-hmm. that took energy out of it.
And so, yeah.
I think the planning, the booking of the big spots, and then all the lying around during the non-action in the Rumble, just and then having Roman Reigns be in the final. Maybe it's just my opinion of all these things are things that I don't like. And so to someone else, they might, you know, a Roman Reigns fan might be really excited that he was in there and all this happened. But I don't know, it just, for being a Rumble that was felt unpredictable and exciting, it just came off very ho-hum.
Yeah, and it's easy to sit here and nitpick and criticize, and we're not, you know, totally ragging on WWE or the performers or creative. I guess to an extent we are, but I also always look back and try to keep in mind the way things went in 2014 and how crappy I thought that outcome was with Batista winning, and then it ended up being where Daniel Bryan stood tall at the end of the night at WrestleMania 30. So I don't think we're obviously going to have a moment like that coming up to WrestleMania 33. Those moments I think are very far and few between. But I will try to look at this with a little bit of an open mind and a little bit of positivity. But my biggest complaint, I guess, would be just the fact that, you know, someone who's already been there is there again as far as winning the Royal Rumble goes. It's such a, and I guess that's how it remains such a prestigious thing to win, is because they keep having some of the same guys. When I think they said Randy Orton becomes the seventh guy to win the Royal Rumble more than once. So And I believe, besides Ric Flair, all three members of Evolution now can make that claim that they've won the Royal Rumble more than one time.
Yeah.
So in your best case scenario, you still would have gone with Jericho winning the Rumble?
Yeah, because I think, to me, that's the logical storyline and the one that has the most backstory to it. So, and it would have been a way to get to the match without having to create artificial drama between the two.
Yeah. The more I've digested that from last week's podcast and thought about it, I mean, that did make the most sense. Some other, you know, I like looking and seeing what other fans think and what they kind of predict. And someone had posted on Twitter that Daniel Bryan's music hits, but then The Miz comes out and, you know, kind of further the whole issue between Miz and Daniel Bryan. But I don't think that's ever going to lead to any kind of payoff in the ring. So, but, you know, I got to thinking, you know, the whole issue with AJ and The Miz a few weeks ago, I wouldn't have minded The Miz winning it, but you know, you can sit here and say coulda, shoulda, woulda all you want, I guess, but the plan right now, we're looking to head to Orlando. I know Chad's not overly excited about the way this Mania card is shaping up. What do you think is going to happen over the next 9 weeks?
I don't know. I was going to say, yeah, we might be looking to head towards Orlando. I may be looking to head to leave Orlando before WrestleMania happens. I don't know. I'm trying to rack my brain to think of what they can do to make me excited for WrestleMania. And based on speculation, and so take this as rumor and nowhere near actual fact, let's just look at what WrestleMania is possibly going to be. Goldberg, Lesnar, don't care. Reigns, Undertaker, or Reigns, Strowman, or Reigns, Undertaker, Strowman, some combination of that. Based on the what happened at Rumble, don't care. Orton versus anyone for the title, and I'm going to the bathroom because I don't care to see Orton in a title match. You know what? Triple H versus Seth Rollins. It can't be as bad as Triple H versus Roman Reigns was last year, right? I mean, what other than Jericho Owens, which I think could be good if given time, and I mean, I don't even know who Charlotte. You know, are they going to drag out Charlotte versus Bayley? Is someone new going to? There's nothing really on the horizon for WrestleMania that makes me interested in the show. What about you?
Yeah, I mean. The thrill of WrestleMania is just kind of being there. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily the card, which we've seen over the last couple of years.
Especially like going back to Orlando, where we've already been to WrestleMania 24, which I consider maybe not the best show, but the most memorable show, or my most memorable entire weekend of events. No, it's obviously not going to live up to that expectation again. So I don't know. And I'm curious. And granted, you and I, you know, we've talked, and as we've discussed this, it's like our views don't necessarily represent those of most common fans. So maybe being being there with fans that are very energetic about the show could make the show better. Or if other fans are just as disinterested and make their voice known, it could be an interesting show.
Yeah, I mean, we're a couple of guys in our, you know, creeping up on our mid-40s now. I hate to admit that, but, you know, we're not what WWE's target demo is. You know, they don't care. You know, they would be targeting our kids.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I'm not one of those fans who says, this is it, I'm canceling my network subscription, I'm outraged. I'm not outraged, I'm disappointed in a couple of the outcomes, but, you know, again, the work rate and the overall performance, you know, always gets an A+ from me, but the aftermath, and again, just kind of sit back and enjoy the ride, I guess, and see where we go from here.
Yeah, and you know, after 2 weeks at Elimination Chamber, things could be shaken up, and we'll see. I don't know. Well, as you said, I don't want to judge maybe WrestleMania based on the outcome of Royal Rumble, but I hope there is a good story and a good plan in place.
Yes, we will hope for that. We want to know what you guys think as well. Be sure to weigh in. You can leave comments here on the Jittery Monkey page on iTunes. Leave a review on iTunes, too. That would be awesome. Again, don't forget to check out Chad's show. It is called Positive Cynicism. It is on jitterymonkey.com and on iTunes as well. And Chad, any closing thoughts before we kind of wrap this up and let Greg get this show on the air on time today?
I still like Impact. Impact's good wrestling.
I've been watching. I need to catch up on the rest of it.
So, I don't know. I mean, WWE is WWE. They're not going to change anything. You know, to them, if it's not broke, why fix it? So, it is what it is. I know what I'm getting myself into when I watch WWE. I should just accept that.
Accept the things we cannot change, right?
Exactly.
Alrighty. Well, everybody, thanks again for listening, sharing, and keeping in touch with us through Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and all that good stuff. Again, be sure to check out Positive Cynicism with Chad Smart, and check him out on Twitter, and drop him a line. Let him know what you're thinking. Take care, everyone, and have a great week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.